the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. On Friday night, we had a lovely service in the back room here, and we began looking at Jesus. And just three sermons over this Easter weekend, we looked at Jesus before the cross, and we considered him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we're going to consider Jesus on the cross, and then Jesus after the cross. But because this is resurrection morning, we're considering Jesus after the cross, and tonight we'll consider Jesus on the cross. And these three things came to me over this past few weeks as I began to think about the Easter weekend. The chapter before Acts chapter 1 is John chapter 21, and it's John's account. Chapter 20 and chapter 21, John's account of the resurrection of Christ. And of course, if we had not a resurrection, we would not have the book of Acts. There would be no need of any other book in the Bible. No resurrection would mean no Acts of the Apostles. It's interesting that the book is called the Acts of the Apostles. It's the beginning of the ministry of the apostles after the resurrection, when they were told to wait in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. After Acts chapter 1 is Acts chapter 2, which is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to be the Lord's witnesses. Luke is the author of the book of Acts, as well as the gospel after his own name. And he begins each book by mentioning this name, Theophilus. This man was obviously a Gentile. He was obviously an official of some kind. But they were attributed to him. Maybe a believer himself in the things of God. But this is Jesus after the cross. And the first thing that we can see in verse 3 is confirmation. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is the only scripture. I love these things that only are mentioned once in the Bible. I think they're very special, I think special note ought to be taken of those things that are just mentioned once in the Bible. And this is the only scripture that gives us the duration of time between his resurrection and ascension. 40 days. Almost 6 weeks. After the resurrection, Jesus stayed on earth for another 6 weeks before he ascended. And I think it's very important to notice that. He presented himself alive by many infallible proofs. It's not that the Lord Jesus rose again and nobody ever saw him again after that. And maybe he went to heaven quietly and secretly without no witnesses. It wasn't like that. He stayed for nearly 6 weeks. And he appeared to many. He presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. And that means convincing, decisive proof. As to leave the disciples in absolutely no doubt. Because remember initially when they heard that he had arisen again from the dead by different ones, they didn't believe. They were told by the women who were at the tomb, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Their words seemed to them as nonsense. They didn't believe. They weren't believing a word of it. Thomas didn't believe. Unless I put my finger into the nail prints of his hands and his side, I will not believe. And so it's as if, reverently speaking, Jesus stayed around for a while. Until they were absolutely left without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. And one has said that by such proofs the risen Lord gave the apostles convincing evidence of his identity and of the reality of his resurrection from the dead. They were of such nature as to guard against the thought that the disciples were victims of a delusion. And the Lord appeared. He made 10, 11, 12 appearances to different ones. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. He appeared to the other women. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the two that were on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to the 11 without Thomas being there. A week later, he appeared again to the 11 with Thomas there. He appeared to the 7 on the shores of Galilee in John chapter 21. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that he appeared to 500 disciples. 500. He appeared to James. He appeared to the apostles in Jerusalem. He appeared to those that were witnesses of his ascension. And after 6 weeks, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven. And he left his witness in the world. He entrusted to 11 men the responsibility of evangelizing the world. Go into all the world, the risen Christ said, and preach the gospel to every creature. What confirmation. And to deny that today is very foolish. When we think of the evidence 2,000 years later, after the resurrection, after the events of Acts chapter 1, to deny this. And one said, the testimony of these honest men and women who saw the risen Christ cannot be rejected except by those who are willfully ignorant. Jesus is alive today. because of so many witnesses, because of these 40 days. This wasn't done quietly or in the dark or secretly and nobody about. There was plenty about. This was done during the daytime and daylight hours. Jesus was seen after his resurrection. What confirmation. We can see also in this passage representation, that they were to be his representatives. In verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. After his ascension, about 10 days later, the 50th day after his resurrection, is Pentecost. That's when the Spirit of God came. That's when they were baptized. That's when the mission to the world began. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." These 11 men, they began to spread the gospel. Others were converted. And even within the first few chapters of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, several thousand were converted. Word spread. And the word has gone round the globe. North, south, east and west. The work of the Holy Spirit in the world. Through individuals. Through Christians. Pentecost, another name for Pentecost, is the Feast of Weeks. The first fruits of the wheat harvest. The day of first fruits. And it was that particular feast that was at harvest time, when a sheaf was brought to the high, to the priest, and weighed before the Lord. And it was an indication that this is just the first of the fruit. There's more to come. And the harvest was gathered in. But in Acts chapter 2, this particular day of Pentecost, it took on a new meaning for the harvest. Took on a spiritual meaning. This particular day of Pentecost was the day of first fruits of Christ's church. The beginning of the great harvest of souls who would come to know Christ and be joined together through the work of the Holy Spirit. You shall be witnesses of me. And that's the obligation upon each Christian. You shall be my witness. Are we true to that? Are we good at that? Are we faithful to that? Do we seek to be that? Witnesses of the risen Christ. What a privilege. What a duty it is. What a joy it is. And those of you who are not saved this morning, oh, for you to be his witness. And you know, we are true Jehovah's Witnesses. We are witnesses of Jehovah. We are true witnesses of the true and living God. His representatives. And what is the message that we are to take? You shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses of what? Verse 3 says, again, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's our message. The kingdom of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not an earthly, geographical, political kingdom. They thought that. They said in verse 6, they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, there were those who thought that the Messiah will come and deliver them from the Roman occupation that they were in. They were under the heel of the Romans. That the Messiah would set them free from that. Jesus said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not an earthly political kingdom that we're about, but it's a kingdom that is for the world, the kingdom of God. This is what we preach, that there is a spiritual kingdom. And it's only those who are born again, it's only those who are saved who are citizens of this kingdom. It doesn't matter what other nation they might come from. God has this one nation in the world that will never be overthrown, that will never be destroyed. This kingdom is God's rule in the hearts and lives of his people. And who as citizens of this kingdom receive remission of sins and eternal life. Jesus, after the cross, he has still 2,000 years on many witnesses, and he's making many more witnesses of his kingdom. Not only do we see confirmation and representation, but we see ascension. Detailed in verses 9 and 10. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now this must have been quite something to witness. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were two angels. Maybe the two angels that were sitting in the empty tomb when the women came to see the body of Christ and to bring their spices and so on. And it's important to record the ascension of Christ, because if he hadn't have ascended, the disciples would have wondered, well, where did he go? Where is he? Has he continued to live on somewhere? Will he die? No, they witnessed his ascension, that he passed through the heavens. And other scriptures tell us, particularly the book of Hebrews, that we're considering on Sunday nights, that he sat at the Father's right hand and he lives to intercede for his people. And Luke again mentions the ascension at the end of his gospel in chapter 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. There's the mention of the promise again. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So this wasn't done secretly. This was done publicly. The ascension had its witnesses. And what was the response of the disciples? And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In between the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They were timid. They had lost their hope. Their hopes had been dashed. But now they witness Christ's resurrection. The risen Christ. For 40 days. They're left in no doubt. They witness his ascension. They are filled with fresh joy and praise.
And that's what the church has had ever since. That's what we have ever since. And we see anticipation. These two angels said to the men of Galilee, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." If there had been no resurrection, there would have been no Acts. If there was no resurrection, there would be no return. We have the promise of his return. We live in the light of the second coming of Christ. We have looked at that from this pulpit before. We have seen the signs that are happening all around us in the world. Chapters of the Bible are being fulfilled in everyday news. All signs leading to the second coming of Christ. And we will have a return because we've had a resurrection. Jesus has risen. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. It will just be the ascension in reverse. And he's coming with power and great glory. He's coming with the angelic hosts. He's coming with the redeemed who have gone on to heaven ahead of us. This same Jesus. Someone once asked Samuel Rutherford, who lived in the 1600s, one of the Covenanters of Scotland, "What will Jesus be like at his second coming?" And Samuel Rutherford just replied, "He'll be lovely. He'll be lovely." This same Jesus. These disciples had the privilege of seeing Jesus in the flesh. They knew what he looked like. They saw his features. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner. What anticipation. Can we look forward to that? We can look forward to his return because of his resurrection. Jesus will come, him who is full of love and sympathy, who brought in everlasting righteousness, who has gone into heaven for us, who now appears in the presence of God for us, who sits upon the throne of universal dominion, ruling all things for us. This same Jesus is coming again. We see that he's the redeeming Christ. He died on the cross. He is the risen Christ. He is the returning Christ. But I wonder, is he the resident Christ? Is he in your heart this morning? Does he reside in your heart? This wonderful Saviour that we have sung about. This wonderful Saviour that can change your life. This is Jesus after the cross. He stayed on earth for another 40 days to confirm that he had risen. And that is a very valuable of time that's only mentioned once here in Scripture. 40 days. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, his message that has never changed. He has representatives. He has ambassadors that convey that message to others. He ascended. He was seen going back into heaven. He wasn't seen coming from heaven at his incarnation. But he was seen going back into heaven. And we live in the light of him coming from heaven And I trust that we all shall be ready for that. Knowing him in our hearts. Him resident, the resident Saviour in our hearts. Jesus after the cross. After his sufferings. And tonight we'll consider him on the cross. Him actually dying for sinners and shedding his blood.